Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, Ted Williams. It is a Getaway Friday, May the 29th, 2020, 529-2020, 20 minutes past the hour, the last Friday in the month of May, 2020. We head into the month of June on Monday. Can you believe Monday will be in the month of June? Holy mackerel. These months are just blowing right by. And you know, my two favorite seasons are spring and fall, and I probably like spring even a little better than I like fall. And now we're down to like 23 days left of spring. Has it seemed like spring since May the 21st? These last 60 days? Gee whiz. I tell you, with everything that's been going on, I'm not even sure spring happened. We obviously have the temperatures of spring finally. That finally came about in the last week or two, but holy moly, it has seemed completely different than what spring normally would seem like, and I'm sure a lot of that has to do with the whole COVID thing and coronavirus, but different times we're living in, and will it change the feel of summer and how things go? Hard to say. I guess we'll find out as the days go on. Now, there are some things here I need to mention this morning. And then we'll get into our 5 hours. We've got 5 hours together this morning, so I hope everybody's ready to talk and have a good time. And the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. We ran out of time yesterday. We had some calls at the end of the program, and I think even somebody called off the air yesterday because we ran out of time. So if that was you and you want to get in today, the phone lines are open from the start of the program this morning. And you know what? The phones are already ringing, so that is a good sign to start off the day. And I know who this is this morning. This week we have had so much fun paying tribute to the legendary broadcaster himself, Charlie Evers, who passed away Sunday night at the age of 85. A lot of great people this week have paid tribute to him. Bob Bender, David Newell, Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Jeff Ruth, Mary Ellen Withrow, Dennis Garrigan has called in, Brenda Donegan from the Marion Star, just a myriad of great people. And this weekend, by the way, we will be running Charlie Evers shows nonstop, starting at 1 o'clock today through 8 a.m. Monday morning, with I think only three exceptions all weekend. So the best of Charlie Evers, the 6 years he was at this station, complete shows 1 o'clock today till 8 a.m. Monday morning. But joining us this morning, and I'm so glad he could call in, was a dear friend of Charlie's and worked with him during some of his greatest exploits on the air at WMRN many years ago. What a pleasure it is, before the week is up, to be joined by John Steele. John, how are you?
Hi, Scott. Good morning. I'm doing fine, thank you. Hey, I'm going to have to listen to some of the best of Charlie. That sounds great.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Charlie was with us for 6 years here, and we taped pretty much everything that he did. So there's about 3,000 hours of Charlie lurking around out there.
Wow. You know, he was great. The most fun I ever had in radio was working with Charlie and Steve Stewart. Mm. It was great. It was so much fun. From then on, every station I ever worked at, I always kind of compared it to WMRN and Charlie and Steve, working with especially Charlie. And there was nobody like him.
You know, John, what years were you with Charlie?
I started working there in 1978. I had worked in Upper Sandusky with another good friend, Dale Wolf. And I moved on up to the big time to WMRN in 78. And I was there for a few years, and then I followed Steve Stewart up to Toledo, and then I ended up back at WMRN. But when I was there, Charlie was there.
What was it about him, John, that made him so much fun, as you say?
The prankster. And You know, I never saw Charlie in a bad mood, not once. And he always had something good to say about everybody. Never a cross word about anyone. And I was always amazed at, you know, I was new to radio. I had only been in radio a couple of years. And he was just a natural. He'd sit and read a commercial, and it would sound like he was just talking to you. He was amazing.
Mm. You know, John, I believe I'm right in this story, and correct me if I'm wrong. Charlie used to love to tell this story, and I think he told it on his 85th birthday when we had the big celebration for him. Something about one time he had worn an old tie-in, or somebody had worn an old tie-in. You know this story better than I do.
Oh, yeah. You know, we wore ties back then, and Charlie had a tie on, and Steve came in, the news guy, and he clipped Charlie's tie off, and it surprised me. It just shocked me. I wasn't used to that, and they thought it was a pretty funny deal. At another time, my wife back then would bake cakes. I brought in a cake, and while I was on the air, because I was on right after Charlie, Charlie stuck a fly in the cake and then called me out and into the little break area. And told me, hey, there's a fly in your cake. You baked a fly into your cake. And then, you know, after they laughed about it and had a good laugh on me, they told me about it.
You know, John, those are funny stories. John, you were there. That was Charlie's heyday in radio, the 60s and 70s. For people who don't remember, how popular was he in this area?
Oh, my gosh. Everybody knew Charlie. And, you know, I've read some of the things that you've posted online, and it's true. Somebody would need something, Charlie would get on the air and start talking about it. People would start donating, and he built the arena, Evers Arena, that way. And, you know, everybody knew Charlie. He was like a star in Marion, and I'm sure he's, you know, remained that way.
You know, John, when he passed away on Sunday night, and we all got to go at some point, when you heard the news, what did you think about?
Oh, I was sad, because I always knew, you know, you kind of think Charlie will be around forever, but, you know, things are going to happen. And I was very sad to see that when I saw the post on Facebook. It's funny, the week before, I had no idea Charlie was feeling bad. I figured he was just off the air because of the virus and, you know, staying at home because, you know, we're up there in that age bracket. I had sat down, I opened up my Messenger because I, Facebook Messenger, because I thought, well, you know, I haven't seen Charlie. I was just going to text him and say, hey, how you doing? And I noticed that he had not been looking at his messages. You know how you can tell if someone has read it. And I thought, he's probably not messing with it, so I'm not going to write him. But I had the strongest thought about Charlie a week before he left us. And it's sad. It's very sad.
It absolutely is. And, you know, we've been paying tribute to him all week, and he certainly deserves that. But what was it about him? Because I said this in a post, and I'm not even really sure how to describe it. When you heard Charlie Evers' voice on the radio and you passed by, you had to stop.
Oh, yeah. He was just like your friend. You know, you meet people in radio, and you get along with some of them. Some of them are standoffish and, you know, all kinds of different personalities. Charlie was friendly from the go. From when I first started working there, he was just like, you know, this is how we do things. He showed me around. He was just great. Nobody like him. You know, I know we keep saying that, and it's true. It's really true.
It really is, John, and I just have a couple more questions for you here. But this week, when he did pass away, the Marion Star, Above the Fold, color picture, commemorating his passing, and as all well we expected that would happen, and as well it should, but the Columbus Dispatch, big half-page article, big picture of Charlie, and then the Associated Press Tuesday morning releases an article on Charlie. What do you think he would have thought of all that? And to, as a person in radio, what does that say about the man and how important he was?
Oh, I think Charlie would have enjoyed it, but still, you know, he would have laughed. He would have had a good time with it. And it says a lot about, you know, people in radio, because you just don't see that every day. I've worked in Dayton, Ohio, and Toledo, and Upper Sandusky, and Marion, and Washington, D.C. In Washington, D.C., we never had anyone like that. It's just so unusual to have someone. You know who I always compared him to? I always compared him to Arthur Godfrey. Mm. He just had that charisma on the air. And he was just so natural and so likable.
Do you have a favorite moment of your time with him?
Let me see. Of course, the peanut pushes. Mm-hmm. I think the time that I went out with Steve and we were on the air with Charlie, and we were talking to him while we were going out to the farmer's barn to see Lady Liberty, you know, Lady Justice in the straw where she had been hidden for so many years. I always remember that, you know, Steve on the phone with Charlie, and, you know, it was that. And also when Steve Stewart used to drive in the morning listening to Charlie talking to him, those are the things that I really remember because it was just so much fun and entertaining.
John, I have a twofold question for you here, because I think all of us who knew Charlie on air and worked with him also knew him off air. How are you going? Well, let's start with this one. How do you think he's going to be remembered in the broadcasting world?
Oh, gosh. You know, by the people that worked with him, I think he's really going to be remembered the way I'll remember him. Always kind, always helpful. A natural on the air. I'm not sure how other people will remember him. People who knew him will never forget him. They'll just never forget Charlie.
And John, that's kind of the second part here. How are you going to remember him, your friend, who you worked with?
Oh, you know, I've still got pictures of us when we did the Kuqua Ditch. Do you know about that, when we did the big race for the bologna sandwich?
Tell the listeners a little bit about it. I know about it, but let them know about that.
Well, it started off with Charlie and Steve Stewart talking about having this race up the Kuqua Ditch. So we ended up getting canoes, and it was me and Steve and then Charlie in his own canoe. And we just went from Marion to, I believe it was Bucyrus. Not Bucyrus. Where's the famous bologna sandwiches made?
Waldo.
Waldo. Yeah. And it just got started, and we spent a whole day tracking through cornfields, through the ditch, through the river. And Charlie beat us. You know, he was there before we were, but we all got bologna sandwiches out of the deal. And I've got the pictures from it, too. I've got pictures of all of us in our canoes and standing there with our bologna sandwiches.
You know, John, it's cliche, and we say it a lot of times when people leave us, but really, we're not going to see the like of Charlie Evers in the broadcast industry again.
Oh, never again. Like I say, I've been around several different radio stations, and I've never met anyone like him. Not one person. There's been some good personalities, but nobody like Charlie.
Absolutely. John, couldn't do a tribute to Charlie without having you on this week, and I'm sure wherever he is right now that he's very happy that you were able to join us, because he spoke so highly of your and Steve's exploits in radio for so many years, and I know he was so glad to talk to you last September when we did the big birthday celebration.
Oh, I'm so glad I had a chance to talk to him then. But thank you, and thank you for having me on, Scott. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. John Steele, legendary broadcaster from WMRN, and really had a close relationship with Charlie. Steve Stewart, I believe, was the news director at that time. And Steve and John and Charlie had some real interesting moments in that era, from that era. A lot of fun went on at WMRN in those days. So I was so glad before the week was up that we were able to get John Steele in to remember the legendary Charlie Evers, which is what we've been doing all week. And, you know, that seems right, because what we have been saying is very true, that we're not going to see his like again. And as I've said, and I've used that word so many times this week, it can be cliche that when somebody leaves us, we're sad, and we say they're a one-of-a-kind person, and we use all these words. But in Charlie's case, that is absolutely true. We are never going to see the like of Charlie Evers again. He just had a way that nobody else had. He had a voice that nobody else had, and he had a personality that nobody else had. And when you combine that all in the package, you are never going to duplicate that. There are a lot of people who can get on the radio and give you the news. There are a lot of people who can come on and read a news story. There are a lot of people who can host a morning show. I'm proof of that every day. But there are a lot of DJs that can come in between songs and tell you what's going on. But nobody can quite do what Charlie did. He had a real grasp of history. He had a real grasp of agriculture. He had a real grasp of news. Charlie paid attention to what was going on in the world, but he gave it to the audience in his own way. And a lot of people have said homespun this week, and I think that comes from the agriculture part of Charlie, because he did like to wear the straw hats, and he did like to get his hands dirty, and he did like gardening and things of that nature. But you know, and he liked doing the shingles at the fairs. But, you know, I'm not sure if Charlie was homespun. I don't know. You know, I certainly think he had that aspect to him. I think he could do that. But I think Charlie was just very crafty in how he did a broadcast. I think he knew that he was talking to one person, which is how radio is done, because we have a lot of time. We're in your home, we're in your car, we're at work with you. A lot of times we're out when you're exercising. And back in those days, if you remember the Walkmans, people had those on their heads. That's where you were, and you might not have always been near a telephone to call in, but you're with people at interesting times. The drive to work. A lot of people don't want to go to work in the morning. And if you can make them laugh or give them some information or give them something to talk about over the water cooler in the morning, that's a unique gift, and that is kind of what Charlie did. So there you go. So glad John was able to call in, because this week with Bob Bender and David Newell and Dennis Garrigan and Jeff Ruth and Mary Ellen Withrow and Brenda Donegan, and by the way, don't forget, that has not been published yet. Brenda Donegan's column this Sunday in the Marion Star is a tribute to Charlie Evers. The Just Musing column on Sunday, a tribute to Charlie Evers, as it should be. And again, here on this station, we will start airing Charlie Evers shows starting at 1 o'clock today through 8 a.m. Monday morning, with only three exceptions over the weekend. So a lot of Charlie all weekend. And these are not hand-picked episodes. And I'll tell you the reason for that. I didn't want to go through and pick episodes that I knew. Let's say a Mr. McFeely episode. Now, you might hear a Mr. McFeely episode this weekend. I'm not saying you won't, but I wanted the shows to kind of be things that I didn't remember so well, because when you do 3,000 shows for a station, nobody can possibly remember every show. So I wanted them to be shows maybe where Charlie's just giving away things, or maybe he's just talking about something, or maybe he does have a guest. But I wanted it to be all surprises all weekend, even to me. So the machine will just pick randomly the 3,000 out of the 3,000 shows he did for this stations, the station that the ones that will air this weekend, starting at 1 o'clock today, and going through 8 a.m. on Monday morning. So there is that. Now I don't see. I lost track when John called in, but I do want to thank Adam yesterday, Adam Lepp, for putting together the Born to Broadcast biography of Charlie Evers. I caught it. It aired 4 to 6 p.m. yesterday on this station. I thought he did a tremendous job, picked some great moments out from Charlie's career on this station, and we thank Adam Lepp for doing that. And I even heard back from Mike Wilson on this station about how much he enjoyed that special. So I hope everybody did yesterday. It was Born to Broadcast, the story of Charlie Evers. So we've got those two housekeeping bits out of the way this morning. Now, this is something I wanted to talk about because it fascinates me in a way. And I kind of want to give you a little bit of insight as this week goes on, as we wrap up this week of tributes to Charlie Evers, about the relationship that I had with him. Because it's, obviously we work together, clearly, and what was interesting to me, and I think it was David Newell who said it, and forgive me if it wasn't, but David said, you know, Charlie was kind of a mentor to you. Well, I will say this about Charlie. It's interesting because Charlie and I never sat down and did, you know, he didn't sit and tell you how to broadcast. He didn't sit and tell you how to do things. And to be honest with you, my relationship with Charlie, even though there was a big difference in our ages, was not that. It was not a mentor-mentee relationship, to be honest with you. We were contemporaries. When Charlie would come in, we would talk about what happened that day. We would talk about what was going on in the news. We would talk about what was going on with him, what was going on with me in our personal life. That's what Charlie and I talked about. It really wasn't broadcasting. We didn't talk a whole lot about that. We did it when we were on the air, but we didn't sit and talk about it. We talked about other things. So I don't know. Well, here's what I want to say about that whole mentor thing. As far as Charlie saying, do this, do that, no, that didn't happen. That's just not who he was. But what I will say is by being around him, I did learn a lot of interesting things about broadcasting. And one of the things I learned that I try to do here every morning is be yourself. Don't try to come on and be phony. Don't try to be the big news person. Don't try to change your voice and talk a little deeper on the air. Don't do that. Just come on and be yourself. And you don't always have to over-prepare. Sometimes you can talk about the little things going on in life. And you can talk about what's going on in your life. People like to hear about it. Even if it's not the biggest news story of the day, you can do that. You can come on and talk about that and hopefully make it interesting enough that the audience wants to hear about it. So that's what I learned from Charlie. Those things. Because I saw him do those every day he came in and got on the air, which he always loved to do. So that was my relationship with him. Now, on that note, and I'm going to tell a story here in a few minutes that really is right up the Charlie Evers alley as far as just talking about things going on and funny things that can happen to yourself. So stay tuned. I've got that story in just a moment. But I'd be remiss if I did not mark the passing of Kensel Clutter. I found out that Kensel Clutter had passed away this past week as well. And for those of you who don't know, Kensel Clutter was 100 years old. He was a big hero of World War II. Had done so many things, and then done so many things for this community in the agriculture world. But I was so sad to see that Kensel had passed away at 100 years old. But what a great life to live to be 100 years old. Now, the irony of this whole thing is that Charlie and he passed away in the same week. Now, less than a year ago, and I believe it was September 27th, if I have the date wrong, I'm sorry, but if you go to the WWGH website, WWGH1071.com, and go to the Charlie Evers section, and you scroll down to September 27th, 2019, less than a year ago, it's Charlie interviewing Kenzel Clutter and two other veterans of World War II. And I say it's, I think it's from September 27th for 2 hours. And it's a tremendous interview, and a lot had to do with Kenzel because he was the oldest, and he also had a very harrowing experience during World War II that if you go back and listen to that interview, you will learn about. So, sorry to hear about the passing of Kenzel Clutter this past week. Now, as with most things, I have a funny story about Kenzel, or at least an interesting story, I hope, that does, in an odd way, go back to Charlie. Kenzel came out to the air show about 2 years ago at the airport, and Charlie was the MC at the air shows for the last few years. And here's the interesting thing. As the MC, basically what Charlie did is he would remind people what was going on. He would alert people that the rides were going on and there were no lines over here and the food trucks were over here and stuff like that. That's what he did over the PA system during the air show. Now, here's the thing about this. Kenzel was there 2 years ago. And I don't remember if he was being honored. I think he was, as a veteran from World War II, and he would have been about 98 at the time. And it was a hot day, and it was the year that the radio station went out there and we broadcast live from the air show. I believe we did that twice. But this particular year was one of the years we were out there. As I say, I think it was 2018. Now, Charlie was up on a podium doing these announcements so he could see everything going on at the air show. And Kenzel was in a wheelchair that day, not because he needed to be in a wheelchair, but at 98 years old, he obviously was not going to be walking around out at the air show, so his son was pushing him around in a wheelchair. Now, I had never heard firsthand Kenzel's story of his harrowing experience from World War II. So, how we had this broadcast set up was we had two microphones out there. Charlie had one of them, and I had the other one. And basically, we were broadcasting everything over the air. Even when he would do the announcements, we would broadcast that because, you know, it gave a feel to the air show and to the listening audience. Well, Kenzel comes up. And I say, Kenzel, can I do an interview with you? A short interview here at the air show. And Kenzel said, sure, no problem at all. Now, Charlie's up on the podium. We're not near each other at this point. We're probably 15 feet away from each other, and he's not looking at me, and I'm not looking at him. I'm looking at Kenzel. He's looking around the air show to see what's going on, because he's got to make his announcements. Well, I start to do this interview because I've got one microphone with me and Charlie's got the other microphone with him that are going over the air. So I decide I'm going to start to do this interview with Kenzel Clutter and it'll go on the air back here to the station. So I start doing the interview with Kenzel and it's going very well and he's telling me his story and Charlie starts to do the announcements for the air show. You know, make sure you get to the food trucks. There are no lines over here. The pedal plane races are going to start soon. Now, Charlie could not see. He wasn't looking at me. He didn't see that I was doing an interview. Now, you've heard what it's like when two people talk on the microphone. And essentially, that's what was going on. Because Charlie was on one microphone and I was on the other with Kenzel, but we weren't next to each other. It certainly was not done on purpose, and it was an easy, you know, it was my fault for not walking over to Charlie and saying, hey, Charlie, I'm going to do this interview, so give me about 10 minutes before you make the next announcement. So all I remember is I'm down there with Kinzel off the podium, and I'm doing this interview, and Charlie starts to make these announcements. Now, again, he's not where I am. And he just happened to glance over where I was with Kinzel doing the interview, and he had realized what he had done by making this announcement over the air while I was doing the interview, because I couldn't stop the interview once it started, and I didn't know that was going to happen. When I said, Scott Spears here from the Marion Air Show, Marion Airport, here's Kinzel Clutter, I didn't know that this announcement was coming, and I already had the microphone in Kinzel's face when Charlie started making these announcements, and I couldn't pull the microphone back from his face, and it just was an interesting situation. But the funny thing was, when Charlie realized what was going on, that we both were talking on the microphone at the same time, and it probably just sounded like gibberish coming back here to the station, he, at first he was, I think he was sorry that he did it, even though there was no way that it could have been averted. He didn't know that I was going to be, I should have told him that I was going to do this interview. But then he just started to laugh. And when I got back, after I had finished the interview, and I started to laugh because it was funny that something like that could happen. And of all times for it to happen when I was interviewing Kinzel Clutter. So I'll always remember that moment as a very interesting moment. Because I'll tell you, once you start doing an interview with a man who's 98 years old, and you've got the microphone in his face, the last thing you want to do is pull that microphone back and tell him to start over or anything of that nature. So it was just a funny moment, and again, incorporated Charlie into that, and sad to hear of the passing of Kinzel Clutter this past week. But again, that interview is on the WWGH website. Just go, I believe it's September 27th. Is when Charlie had him in, September 27th, 2019, less than a year ago, and it is something to hear. So we mark the passing of Kinzel Clutter at the age of 100. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this, but, oh, and by the way, if anybody wants to weigh in, if anybody has a moment they want to share, because we haven't had a whole lot of chances to leave the phone lines open this week. And today I'm going to be here for 5 hours, so interrupt me at any point if there's anything you want to talk about. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 52 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open if there's anything you'd like to say, any memory you'd like to share, and any memories of any of these people, because they were out in the community, they were in the forefront, and they did a lot of good. Charlie Evers, Kinzel Clutter. We've had so many this year who have left us. And we're only in May here still. We had Charlie Sens, and we had Marge Hazelett, and Dave Aiken, and Kinzel Clutter, and Charlie Evers, and it's been a rough year in that that particular way. But the march of time goes on, I guess, and that's what life is supposed to do, and we just keep on moving forward. But if anybody has anything to say, as I said, phone lines will be open all morning for anything you'd like to say, 740-383-9944. Feel free to interrupt me at any moment you would like. Now, oh, here's the story this morning that I wanted to tell, that this to me, is this will tell you just how... what is the word? Just how unaware I am of things. Okay. I'm driving in this morning, and it's very kind of overcast outside. It's not raining. Well, it wasn't raining when I came in, but it's just kind of overcast and kind of not the nicest weather outside. So I'm driving in, but I do have the window down in the car because it's nice enough outside to where you can do that. So I get to the parking lot here at the radio station, and I am parking. And I roll up the windows. I have electric windows in the car. I roll up the windows, and I get out of the car, and I start to walk into the building here. And then I think, you know, it's going to rain today. And I look back, and for some reason, and I don't know why, but the back window on the driver's side of my car was cracked. You know, just cracked open, not cracked, shattered, but just cracked open at the top as if somebody had opened it. I don't know who had opened the back window of the car, beyond me, but I thought, well, I don't want to leave this window open because I'm going to be in there for 5 hours, 5 hours plus, and I don't want it to rain and rain inside of the car. So I go back to the car and I decide I need to roll up this back window on the driver's side. So I get back to the car and I open the door and I make sure all the other windows are up with the electric windows. And they are, all the other windows are up. And then I start to roll up this back window, which is cracked just a little bit. Cracked open, I guess is what I should say. And I could not get the switch to work. It would not go up. And I thought, oh my goodness, the switch is broken. The window's not going to go up. It's going to rain today. The inside of the car is going to get wet. Oh, this is going to be terrible. This is going to be a mess. Oh my goodness. And I'm messing around with it for like 5 or 10 minutes outside. And I even get out of the car, and I open the back door because it's a four-door, and I'm trying to figure out maybe the switch is only broken in the front, and I'm trying to mess with the switch in the back, and I can't get the window to go down with the back switch. And then I go back up to the front again, and I turn on the car, and I'm trying to get the thing to go down in the window, or go up, and the window will not go up. The window will not go up to save my life. And just, now, does anybody know what I did here? Because this will just tell you how big of an idiot I can be some mornings. I'm going to give, it's 57 minutes past the hour. If anybody knows what they think I did, let me know. I will tell you that I got the window up. And thank goodness, maybe the little bit of smarts that I have kicked in right before I walked away from the car in exasperation. Does anybody know what the problem might have been? If you do, give me a call. 740-383-9944. Because I'm thinking this is probably a common issue that people have from time to time. Now, how it happened, I have no idea. And why I didn't check this first, I have no idea. But I can safely say that the window is up. And the window is up. And I'm not going to get rained on today. I just got a message on Facebook. And that's what happened. They got it. They got it on Facebook. But I'm going to give you the caller here because I know you're on a 30-second delay. Does anybody know what I might have done this morning that caused that window not to go up? But I will say, in my defense, I did realize it before I left the car. So it's not going to rain in the car this morning. But yes, on Facebook, the person on Facebook sending me messages, that is exactly what happened. But it's nice because they're telling me they have done the same as well. But they think it's hilarious. Now, I'm not sure if they think it's hilarious because they've done it before, or if they think it's hilarious because I did it this morning. Couldn't get the window up. I'm going to give you the answer here in about 20 seconds. But is it out there, person listening on Facebook, or however you're listening, giving me messages on Facebook, is it hilarious that I did this because you've done it before? Or is it hilarious because I did it this morning? Oh, both. Okay, I just got the answer. It's hilarious, both. Okay. Well, now we know. All right. Oh, we're getting a call here. Maybe this is somebody who knows what happened. Go ahead, caller.
It's got to be the window lock.
It is the window lock. And you know what the thing? It's down by the knobs to open up and shut the
windows. Oh, I know all about it. Wait till you've taken your dog and you're headed to the dog park and you forgot to take the window lock and put it on, and the windows are the windows are down, and then they step on the button and they get their head stuck in the window.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the light was even lit up. The red light. I guess there's a red light on it. I didn't see it until, 10 minutes into this escapade this morning.
I'm just sitting here laughing because I'm thinking,
this
probably happens to more people than we realize.
Oh, and you panic because you think, oh my goodness, it's going to rain and I have to go into this building. And
I don't panic until I see my dog strangling in the window and I'm going 50 miles an hour down the road.
Now we haven't had to bury any dogs because of this, had we?
No. Let's clear that up. No, I'm always able to get them out in enough time. But that's happened more than once, but I'll forget to put the window lock on. And they'll just step on the button, and up goes the window, and you'll just hear a noise and look back. Oh, my dog's strangling.
And I don't even know why this. I don't know if I bumped it. I don't know if I pushed it when I was rolling down one of the front windows. I don't even know why the lock was on.
You'll probably never know, Scott.
I'll never. You know, and I'm one of those people who wants to know the answer to everything.
Well, have a good show.
Thank you for calling. Bye bye. That was it. They got it on Facebook, and we just got it on the phone. Yes, I had the window lock on. There could be no bigger insane person than me, obviously, this morning. And also on Facebook, getting a message that, glad I'm not alone in my absent-mindedness. Well, no, you're not alone in your absent-mindedness, because I was there this morning as well. I was so glad John Steele could call him. We're coming back with much more, and you on the toll-free line after this short but important break. Stay tuned, WWGH Radio.
You're in there because you are so comedic. You have that great comedic time. Is there a number that kind of strays to the comedy side of things that you like to do?
They want me to do the Where Oh Where Are You Tonight thing, so I'll do that. And I have little verses, you know, that go with it. And that's funny. People like that do.
Now tell people where that came from who might not remember that.
Okay. On Hee Haw, there was two guys who stood in front of the board fence, Archie Campbell and Gordy Tapp. And they did a little thing called Where Oh Where Are You Tonight. And the Where Oh Where Are You Tonight? Why